We're pleased to be joined on the program by the director of a wonderful new documentary. We've been talking about it for several days. It's called The Russian Five, and we're joined by director Joshua Reel. Joshua, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Love this movie so much. I thought I knew the story until I watched this film and have learned so much new information. Obviously, this was a very personal project for you as well. Can you explain why?
Yeah, you know, I grew up watching the Red Wings and the Russian Five like anyone else that grew up in Michigan, really. You know, the Russians were kind of what made me kind of drift from baseball to hockey, actually. You know, Fedorov came around, and he was so exciting. And then Konstantinov came, and he was just so dominant. You know, he became my favorite player. And you know, the limousine accident that happened after them won the Cup, and spoiler alert, but... You know, Vladdy, kind of his perseverance through that kind of inspired me after a car accident that I was in, eventually required a couple back surgeries and 6 years of sort of that. And so, you know, through that time, my grandparents got me a Konstantinov jersey. That was sort of an inspiration to say, you know, well, what I'm going through it sucks, but what Vladdy went through was so much worse, and he persevered with a smile on his face. So I knew, you know, I wanted to keep making films. This was a story I had to tell, and so it kind of, the fates came together so that it was the first film that I made.
It was also awesome and a pleasant surprise for us to see a great friend of our show, Jeff Daniels, in the movie.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, you know, he speaks for the fan, and, you know, I was trying to get him and or Dave Coulier in the film, and, you know, Dave was shooting Fuller House, and we hadn't heard from Jeff, and I was starting to get panicked about, like, who's going to speak for the fan in this film, and then Jeff sent us an email. It's like, hey, you know, I totally missed your email to the Purple Rose. If you guys are interested, I'm still down. I'm in town for a minute. So I got a crew. We ran to Chelsea. We sent him down, and you know, he gave us some great stuff. And it was cool because, you know, before I interviewed him, I had found this footage of him in the locker room when they won the Cup. So I knew, you know, you could give me some stuff because he was really there. He wasn't one of these celebrities who just kind of shows up, you know, the night of the championship and leaves. Like, he was there through the playoff runs. He was there for the big games. Sometimes he was there for the, you know, the small games too.
Well, it was great to have him. And I understand it was also obviously key to you. And was it a little intimidating to get that interview lined up with the guy you call the Jedi Master, the great Scotty Bowman?
Scotty Bowman, I mean, that was the first interview that we did when we had, you know, Dan Milstein, who executive produced the film, signed on board, and it was kind of, you know, we put in a situation where, like, we got to move fast if we're going to do this because Sergei Fedorov was being inducted in the Hockey Hall of Fame. We wanted to go and get some footage there and maybe pick up some interviews. So, you know, we interviewed Scotty while we were there, and, yeah, you know, he, I thought I'd send a little softball up and ask him about, you know, his background in Soviet hockey. The next thing I know, he's on a 6-7 minute, you know, speech about the Soviets' 1972 third line center, you know, so it was pretty incredible, a little overwhelming, and, you know, I have to quickly get your footing and say, this isn't what the interview's about. I got to steer Scotty Bowman back, but you don't steer Scotty Bowman, you know.
One of the people I found so compelling, because I didn't know all that much about him, is the general manager who came over from the New York Islanders. Jimmy Devolano is such a great part of this story.
Oh, Jimmy D is fantastic. You know, he was a guy who, at the end of the day, it was his decision, you know, and all of the factors that went in, you know, how will these Russians fit in a locker room? Can we get them? Do they play hard? At the end of the day, Jimmy D said, well, if we can get them, if they fit in the locker room, if they play hard, they sure are talented and they make us a lot better real fast. And so, you know, Jimmy had an owner in Mike Ilitch who said, you know, do whatever it takes to win. You've got a blank check if that's what it takes. And so, you know, they needed some of that money to bribe, you know, Russian officials and et cetera to get some of these players over. But when they did, you saw how much it changed the Red Wings and really, not just the Red Wings, but change the NHL.
Well, and it becomes at that point, too, when the word goes out that they want at least one of these guys. Now it becomes this James Bond-like thriller with some intermediaries doing their work really all around the globe.
Yeah, you know, it definitely takes on that kind of feel, which was fun. as a director and working with my editor, David Fabello, where, you know, you're trying to find a tone that kind of stays consistent throughout the film. And, you know, despite the fact that there's some sadness and tragedy, you know, we thought, let's find a way to make this kind of airy and fun. So even in those dramatic scenes, you know, we've still got moments where Jim Leitz or Nick Pilano are cracking jokes, just to kind of just to balance it. Because, yeah, you know, this is a wide scope of the story, you know, because once they get to America, then there's the story of the immigrant and how do they fit into the locker room. And then there's a story of, you know, how do we win a championship? And then obviously the human element that comes into play after that.
We're talking with director Joshua Reel. The film is The Russian Five, and today is a big day in terms of access to the film for people.
Yeah, today we are streaming online. It's available at any of the major VOD platforms for purchase or rent. And if people go to therussianfive.com/watch, we've got all the options there. But if you go on iTunes, you go on Amazon Prime, if you go on Google Play, if you're on your Xbox or your PS4 and go into the store for movies, you can get it there. So, yeah, people all over will get a chance to see it. We've been touring the film through film festivals last year and then in theaters over the last maybe nine to 10 weeks. We've played in 18 states, over 90 markets. But now it's a chance for anyone, anywhere in North America, basically, to see it.
Well, it's a remarkable story, and for anybody who doesn't know, you've got to watch this. But what I found compelling, too, is, yeah, it's a great story about hockey, but it really transcends the sport to talk about these people, these guys, and the adjustment they had to make in coming to America, and in many ways the adjustment of Detroit and America and the National Hockey League had to make to them.
Absolutely. You know, those guys, you know, they had to leave everything. Everything that they knew in life behind, right? And so, and we kind of forget about that, you know, the journey of an immigrant coming to America for this better life of the American dream. And for these guys, it was to play in front of 20,000 people, screaming, cheering on the biggest stage against the best in the world. And they came here and they were able to do that part without a problem. But yeah, it's the integration in the locker room and how do the other rest of the teammates accept them? And luckily for the Detroit Red Wings, they had a captain in Steve Yzerman who said, "You're here to work hard? If you're going to work hard, I don't care where you come from. We're going to accept you into the locker room." And fortunately for Detroit, those Russians that they brought were willing to work hard, you know, and they defied whatever stereotypes that were already kind of in the league. Sergei, Vladdy, and Kazi, you know, they worked their tails off to try to, you know, be the best that they could be. And through that process, they won over the team.
Interesting, too, that you knew of the skills of Fedorov, certainly, but when it came time to actually getting the big win and capturing the Stanley Cup, in many ways, it was the work of the veterans, the older guys, that proved to be the difference.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's kind of common, right, where it's, yeah, you need your firepower, but you also need your generals who are going to know when to call in a play, when to call in, you know, whether it's to push Sergei, and you see in the film that sort of Slava Fetisov's leadership started to rub off on Vladdy Konstantinov by 97. And so I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's a moment where kind of Vladdy has to take on that role. But he's inspired by the older guys. And even stuff that we weren't able to put into the film just because of time. You know, Chris Osgood talked about how, you know, those Russians, like Slava Fetisov and Igor Larionov, they weren't just for the Russian players. They were there for everyone. And they were all kind of like the grandfather who pull you aside and say, "Hey, kid, you got this." And Ozzy talked about a story where Slava Fetisov, he wouldn't say much. He'd just say, "Ozzy, you got this." And then a couple of days later, he'd say, "What'd I tell you, kid? You had it." You know, and it was just sort of that, the fact that they had been through so much, you know, they had won everything that there was to win in hockey except for the Stanley Cup. And after that, the loss to Colorado in 96, I think that the younger Russians and the rest of the team saw just how much it meant to these guys and what they went through fighting with Tikhonov and the Soviet system to secure their release, not defection, release. Those guys, Slava and Igor, fought their way over against the communist government to win the right to come to America. And it was a battle, you know, and so for them to finally get that close to the Stanley Cup, I think that was motivation for everyone in that locker room. And you see it when Steve Yzerman, you know, who's the first person that he hands it off to after he takes his lap? Slava Fetisov.
one of the filmmaking decisions you had to make was you had some parts of the story where you didn't have any footage, and you went an interesting direction here in using animation, and I think it worked so well. Were you pleasantly surprised by how well that turned out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're always hoping when you're going through the process. And I mean, that the animation really was an international collaboration where we had a storyboard artist in Los Angeles work with me. And, you know, we spent months kind of talking through the scenes, and then he would draw storyboards. And then we found these incredibly talented artists in Ukraine. And so we'd send them the storyboards, and then they would draw them in. And then they'd send those storyboards over to us in Austin, where we finished the film. And we had an animator start moving those stories, you know, those paintings in 3D space. But I personally hate recreations. I think they're cheesy. And Jenny Fedorovich, my producer, and I, from the first conversation that we had, you know, this was something that we knew we had to tackle. How do you show that in a clever, creative way? And I think animation, if it's done well, can be really, really cool. And so we said, let's do, well, I said Soviet propaganda posters. And she said, what if they move like Sin City? And right away we're like, all right, we're on the same page, and this is a good way to start this production together, being on that same page. And, you know, we wouldn't realize at that time all the hard work it would take, to the point where, you know, Jenny had a child while we were making this film, and she had just given birth through emergency C-section after being in labor for over 48 hours. And we had to have her jump on a phone with the Ukrainians because we needed someone who could speak Russian. And so, you know, she's like, hold the baby and bring me a laptop and a cell phone. And she did it. And I don't know what she said to them, but whatever it was, we got a lot of images really quickly after that.
One of my favorite parts of the film, too, is the appearance by the great one, Wayne Gretzky. And it was the epitome of the term grudging respect.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he goes back to the respect between him and Igor and Slava, you know, to those Canada Cup days in 87. And Wayne, when Sergei came to the league, and, you know, people kind of forget 93, 94, when Sergei had his MVP season, it was him neck and neck with Wayne Gretzky. So I think those kind of those things made him really aware of just how good the Russians were. And then Vladdy Konstantinov was a guy who, you know, he didn't care that it was Wayne Gretzky. If Wayne Gretzky came into his zone, he was going to hit him, you know, and someone like Wayne Gretzky, he respects that for sure. So it was just an honor to be able to get him into the film. It was quite an experience getting to Toronto on last minute notice to do so, but we're grateful that he gave me a half hour.
And of course, for anybody who's not familiar with the story, the film takes an incredibly poignant turn with the real life incident that occurred right after winning the Stanley Cup, with that tragic limousine accident. And my gosh, it's a gut punch, even though you know what happens, to see that play out.
Yeah, you know, I remember where I was when I heard the news, and I know, you know, everyone that I talked to in the interview, they all remembered as well. And so It was a gut punch. And, you know, Detroit had waited for so long, 42 years, you know, I mean, that's more than I've been alive for a Stanley Cup or for a championship. And we got it. And then we didn't even get a full week to celebrate. And, you know, what's hard is they did everything right. They got limos, they hired drivers so that no one was going to drink and drive. And then just, you know, someone made an irresponsible decision, and that's, you know, someone was being the limo driver, and it altered two people's lives forever. And, you know, and Vladdy was, you know, getting to see archival footage of him and talking to these guys about what he was like beforehand. You know, I mean, that's one of the tragedies of that was, yeah, you know, it robbed the Red Wings of maybe some Stanley Cups and, you know, surefire Hall of Fame defenseman. But really what it robbed is the city of Detroit, his family, the community, from this really incredible individual who was really starting to become comfortable in America, in his own skin, and you can start to see his personality really develop. You know, the Vladinator, when he put on the sunglasses, and it's just really tragically ironic that happened right at the cusp of that. You know, and I was told Monday morning he actually had his first photo shoot for a commercial plan, and you know, it's just one of those things with life—you never know just how fragile it can be until it happens.
It had to be a pretty incredible moment for you and Jenny and everybody involved in the film when you had your Detroit premiere and Vlady Konstantinov was there with Dave Coulier, right?
Yeah. So Vlady came to the film festival premiere last April, but I was being pulled 9 million directions, so I didn't really get a chance to see him other than to greet him and say hello. And then I was, we need this. So I was off. But back in March when we had our theatrical premiere, as we launched our film in theaters, Vlady and Dave Coulier came up. And so and Dave's guests and Vlady's family and his handlers, as far as his nurse, et cetera, we were all in the skybox. And Vlady, he'd watch it, and when he'd see someone like Steve Eisenman on the screen, he'd go, Stevie, he'd get really excited. And, when he'd see himself hit a player, he'd get really happy, and I could hear him. When Don Cherry showed up in the film, he started like grunting in Russian, and I don't know what he said, but his daughter was like, "It's okay, Dad, it's okay." But what really, really moved me was, we made it a point to include We Are the Champions in this film, because it's a typical sports, we won, but because that was a song that Vlady fell in love with when they won, and he would sing it all the time. And so when he was in a coma, his teammates would play it for him. And that was a song where when he would hear it while in the coma, his vitals would tick up. Sometimes he'd squeeze a finger. So we knew it was really important to include that song. And so when I'm watching it with him and Dave and their guests up in the box, that part of the film started playing. And Vlady started singing along with it. And it was just really, he was like kind of mumbling under his breath. But I could tell that he was trying to sing We're the Champions. And it really hit me that there's something about this movie that really triggers in a special place in his memory from before the accident when, things were happy and joyful. And so, that's a gift that's been given to us that we would have never expected, was to be able to move and create these positive emotions in someone who gave so much to us.
That's an incredible story. So, yeah, you worked on this film for, more than 6 years. So you certainly couldn't have known what the climate of America would be in 2019. Right. And yet this film, to me, is even more important now than it would have been, given what things are like in this country as we talk about people from other lands, other cultures, and assimilation. And it just makes it even more powerful and more timely.
Yeah, you're right. I would have had no clue that where we were or where we are right now is where we'd be when I started the project. And, you have the angle with people coming to America and should we welcome them? Should we not? And then, we've also had, Russians being in the media, and all of a sudden Russians are the bad guy again for some people. And I think it's just all of that is important to remember that people are people, and just because someone's a Russian doesn't mean that they agree with the Russian government. Someone's American doesn't agree with the American government necessarily. It's how are you as an individual? How are you as a human being? Are you here to work hard? Are you here to try to give your family a better future? That's what it's about. That's the American dream, right? So, this is the only country in the world where a guy from Port Huron, Michigan, who can go through what I went through, can meet a girl from the Soviet Union who immigrated here in 89, and together, Jenny and I, we could make this movie to honor this legacy that the Russian Five had. And I don't know anywhere else in the world that can be possible but America.
Well, and actually, we wanted to have and had planned to have Jenny on with us. We had a little phone issue, and we're unable to have her on. But the story of the Russian Five, and she shares some similarities to that, and she emigrated to America about the same time that Fedorov did, right?
She did. She came here in 1989.
That is remarkable. Well, it really is a tremendous film. As a hockey fan, anybody will love it. As a history fan or just as the fan of a great story, it is such a good movie. The Russian Five, now available on all kinds of platforms out there, so make sure you get to it. Josh, great to talk with you. Love the film so much. Thank you for making time for us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you for making time.
Joshua Reel, the movie is called The Russian Five. You got to check it out. It is so good.